This morning, Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. I don't know if this is a traditional style Mother's Day message, but reading Proverbs, of course, this week, and we had Proverbs chapter 6 during the week. And I wasn't really thinking about Mother's Day. I just had a verse that kind of jumped out at me, and it just so happened to include mothers. And so I thought, that's kind of interesting, and I kind of was looking at it and reading it again. And so Proverbs chapter 6, we won't go to verse 16, which is six things doth the Lord hate. We'll go past that, all right? Verse number 20, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And so, of course, the book of Proverbs is written by Solomon. He's writing to his son. The idea would be that Rehoboam should have paid attention to this book before he got himself in trouble, right? Rehoboam makes a mess of the kingdom because he didn't listen to what the word of Solomon was to his son to try and get him some wisdom and some understanding. He has two things. He says this phrase similar to this twice. Look back at Proverbs chapter 1. Hold your place here in chapter 6. We'll come right back. But he says a similar phrase back in verse chapter 1 and verse number 07. He says, Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. And so he's got this comparative instruction of the father and the law of the mother there in chapter 1. And in chapter 6, he makes the statement, the commandment of thy father's commandment and the law of thy mother. And I got thinking about these kind of things. And the dad is really, you know, he's there to make the commandment. He's there. He's not just, you know, you get the Ten Commandments and this is what you're going to do and this is what you're not going to do. Right? That's the dad. The dad is like, do it. And don't do it. And when you break the rule, I beat you, right? That's kind of the idea. The answer is, if you break the rules, you're punished. This is it. I'm going to lay down the law. This is the command. The mom is more the law. Now, I know oftentimes we think of, well, you know, the commandments are the law. They're very similar. But the idea is the law tells you in much more detail the idea of what we expect. Dads are very short in what we say. We don't use the extra words and we just get right down to thou shalt and thou shalt not. And if you go outside those lines, you're in trouble. And the mom is much more understanding, I will go with. Anybody else experience that, right? There's a little bit of this, no, that's not what he means. This is what we are supposed to do. And they fix it to where it's actually, I'm going to go with usable, applicable. Right? They want you to get it right and do it the right way. So they kind of help you understand what the commandment meant. They don't want you to mess it up. So instead of just being, dad says this, their answer is, okay, don't do this, do this. They help you a little more than dad does. That's usually how it goes. Now you say, that's not how it is in my house. Okay, that's a general idea. I get it. All right? But in general, usually the dad is just, this is the list of things, and the mom goes, this is how we do these things. And they help more on that side. And I think that's what the distinguishing characteristics of this idea would be. Now, we understand that when the Lord makes reference to instruction, Solomon here talking about instruction, the father's commandment, and the law of thy mother, he is referencing the same thing, the book you're holding in your hands. He's referencing the Word of God. That is not even hard for us to figure out. There's a law that goes along with what God says. The children of Israel, let me give it another way. The children of Israel had the Ten Commandments, but Leviticus explains them. The law. And so he's divided those, and he's making that comparison between the two sides. Now for the Christian, God is the Father. John chapter 1, right? But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. They weren't born of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. They're God's children. When you got saved, when you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were adopted into a family and God became your Father. And contrary to religious belief, the Roman Catholic Church is not your mom. Just the truth. You say, you mean the church isn't? Nope, the Baptist church isn't either. Galatians chapter 4, if you'd like the verse for it, is verse 26. Jerusalem, speaking of the heavenly, which is free, the reference says, is the mother of us all. Amen. That's the comparative. So you want the law? Well, the law is a reference to what the New Jerusalem promises and what it wants for you. Well, I can think of nothing better in that place than what God told you right here in this book. What does God expect of me? That's what the mother is supposed to instill in the child. What God expects. So moms, I'm not going to hammer on you. I'm really not. That's not my goal. But the big question this morning for the mothers is, what laws are you giving to your children? What are the laws that you give them in line with God says? Or are they in line with the world's theology? Say, you called it theology. Yeah, because that's what they believe. And that's their gods. They believe whatever they're holding on to. I'm sorry. I'm going to slide this in because this, it drives me nuts. I have a 3-year-old. He's in the room. I have him. I don't reason with him. He's unreasonable. I dictate to him. Uriah, I can start to reason with. He's getting to the spot where he understands what I'm telling him and why I'm telling him. But I don't reason with a 3-year-old. And if you think you're going to reason with a 3-year-old, have you not had one? Have you never dealt with a 3-year-old? You're not dealing with them. That's not how this works. You tell them what you want, and they have to do that. Well, they need to understand. He doesn't understand. I can tell him 1,000 times. He won't understand it yet. That's not what they... That's the world's theology. Well, no, you have to talk with them and have a full-fledged conversation with your 3-year-old. They don't understand you. They don't understand what you want. Most of them will not. Sometimes that's you and me with God, isn't it? We just don't quite understand what he's telling us. And so you know what he falls back on? The best phrase that I have probably ever heard my parents say to me, and I now say to my children, because I said so. That's the best answer. Because I said so. And if you don't do as I said so, you're in trouble. It's wonderful. And here we are, and you know what God's done? He has given us a book so that, by the way, the answer to the parents is, teach them what the Bible tells us. You teach them what the Bible says and how we're supposed to live, and we're going to get to some of that here in a minute. You teach them those things, you know what they'll have? They'll have the best life they'll ever have. That's right. Amen. And they'll have eternity in the New Jerusalem. Amen. They'll have heaven for all of eternity if they get what this book says. You give them anything else, you know what you'll have? You'll have what the world has. So some of you moms, you don't have any kids living at home, they're adults now. You look back, okay, how'd I do with this? Okay, but here's the greatness. Moms are never not moms.
That's right.
So you can go and say, hey, I didn't do all that part right there. Don't do that with your kids. With the grandkids, let's see if we can help with some of that. So if you missed, you still got time because you're still here. And so you can affect, maybe not your kid the same way, but you can affect with your grandkids and make sure your kids try and do things better than you did. I think that's all of our goals. Amen. Have the next generation be just a little bit better than mine. And so we're going to get into this morning. And so, Lord willing, it'll be a blessing to you. The law of thy mother. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, I do pray you would bless us this morning. Work in our hearts. Help us, Father, to see what you want us to see and live the way you want us to live so that we can be pleasing and honoring to our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. If someone here doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. They'd realize Jesus is the greatest they could ever have met. Lord, there's nobody like you. There's nobody who'd save like you save. There's nobody who loves me like you love me. There's nobody who cares for me and wants me and desires that I would spend all of eternity. There's nobody like you. You're a marvelous God. And Lord, I pray they'd realize that and that you're a marvelous Savior and they'd call upon you. Lord, bless us now. Help us to see some things today so that we can honor our mothers and honor you, Lord, through the Word of God today. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. First thing I want you to see is the law's attachment. The design is that the Word of God is so instilled into your children that it becomes attached. It's part of them. He says in verse number 21, he says, bind them continually upon thine heart. That's the first thing he says. Bind them continually upon thy heart. The law is supposed to be so ingrained, the Bible is supposed to be so ingrained in us that it's bound to our hearts, chained to it. It's holding to that spot. We used to be, as a lost man, we're holding to the cords of our sins. But it'd be a whole lot better if we were holding to the Word of God. Amen. That it bound us up and held us there. Our emotions, we talk about the heart. Well, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, the Word of God knows it. It's the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Well, then it's the only thing that can tell me what's in there and what it's doing. And how do I protect myself from my emotions being so unraveled and so messed up? How do I keep myself in check that way? Well, here you go. Bind them continually upon thine heart. What the Bible says binds your heart. It keeps it where it's supposed to be. Our emotions can be so volatile. You watch people. There's a guy. I'm watching baseball. I love baseball. The boys are interested. Even Mayla's interested in baseball. Praise God. And so we're watching some baseball. But there's a guy, I don't like him. I haven't liked him. I didn't like him before. I don't like him today. He's a pitcher. Valdez is his name. Pitched for Houston. He's terrible. He pitches for the Tigers now. He's been suspended for 5 games because he can't keep his emotions from running him. Grown man. Somebody else, it's nobody else's fault. He throws the pitch, guy hits a home run, he's tipping his pitch, like he's all upset about everything. He's a big baby, is what he is. So what does he do? Well, last year, he crosses up his own catcher and hits his catcher in the chest plate with a fastball. Well, that got him off the team of the Astros. Took him a while to get picked up. The Tigers pick him up, hoping they can straighten out his attitude problem. He gives up a home run and turns around and hits a guy right square in the middle of the back with a fastball. Hadn't thrown a fastball yet. Hits one of the Red Sox guys. Now, I'm all for hitting Red Sox, but that's not cool. Like, that's not the time. Hits him square between the numbers. Ejected from the game. 5-game suspension. The manager's getting... Why? Because the dude can't keep his emotions in check. It's nobody else's. What you hitting this guy for? Because you messed up? Isn't that the way your heart does things? Get mad at everybody else because you just can't keep things under control. I hope your mother taught you better than that. She probably did.
That's right.
You can't let your emotions run you all the time. You know what you need? You need the Word of God to temper your emotions and keep them down to where they're supposed to be. One of the fruit of the Spirit is temperance. That's not self-control. Self-control means you're still in control. Temperate means that God's in control. And His word is now dictating how I'm supposed to feel about this. You know, you can sit there and look at the world and be angry at everything, but it doesn't change anything. You can sit there and make yourself as angry. I mean, you can sit there and watch newsreel after newsreel and watch this and watch over and over again. You can sit there and watch all day long. You know what you'll end up? Mad. I don't even care which political party you are. I don't care what affiliations you have. You watch whatever news you want to watch. You know what you'll be? You'll be mad all day long. Because if that's all you're paying attention to, that's all you're absorbed with, you'll get angry because your emotions aren't going to be in check. You'll get mad. Your flesh will win. You could sit there on Facebook all day. You know what you'll find? You'll get angry eventually. Twitter and all the other, you'll get all the other things. I don't care what you're putting in. If it's not the Word of God binding your heart, you're going to be in trouble. And I hope you learned that the Word of God is the only thing that can keep your heart from running wherever it's going to run. Your heart will deceive you real quick. You need the Word of God to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I bet your mom probably taught you about that. He says, tie them, verse 21, and tie them about thy neck. That's kind of a weird phrase. I'm weird. We all know it, okay? All I think of is a lanyard. You know, the little string around your neck with a little card on the front. If you're AJ Legault, it lets you into all the special places where you can get shot at. But you say, what is it? It goes around, right? And it's hanging there. In the other spot, he called it chains about thy neck, necklace. It's there to identify certain things.
That's right.
All I thought of was, what keeps me in focus? You watch different people, martial artists, different things, guys that play sports and different avenues. You know what you find that most of them do eventually? If they're getting frustrated, they're losing focus. They do one of these. They look down. What do you see if you look down? Whatever's hanging around your neck. It refocuses you. Why is it hanging there? So that if I ever need it, it's right here. Hey, here's a good question. What causes you the most problems? Me. My weaknesses. My struggles cause me the most problems. All right? If you have struggles with certain things, bind that verse about thy neck. That way when you look down and you're frustrated, you go, oh, that's right. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Okay, all right. So what are you doing? Just refocusing. Just refocusing. You say, why is it there? So it's always there. So it's there when you need it. You know what I find, Christian? If you won't go ahead and figure out the verses that are going to help you the most, you don't care. There's verses on all the things that you struggle with. I don't care what you struggle with. There's verses that will help you. The trouble is you don't bind them about thy heart and you don't hang them around your neck so that you go ahead and keep them. That means they're with me. If they're bound to my heart and they're hanging around my neck, I'm taking it with me. There's nowhere I can go that they won't be there. The trouble is you won't remember them and you won't look at them and you won't pay attention to them. And when you know that you're supposed to fix something, you won't look down and grab it. What does the Bible say about that? Well, I got an anger problem. Okay, go ahead and get some verses on anger. I got a lust problem. Go ahead and find some verses on lust. I've got, you know, this addiction and that. Okay, find some verses that'll help you turn to God. instead of looking at you. Because by the way, when nothing's there of God hanging around your neck, you know what you'll look down? You'll look down and all you'll see is self. And you just keep failing. You know what mom probably taught you? Mom probably taught you your emotions will fail you. And if you keep focusing on you, you'll fail. How about you focus on Him? Amen. Focus on His Word.
Amen.
Bind them about thy neck. Carry them around. Hang them about thy neck. Put them on. Tie them on so they can't go anywhere. You want to control your emotions? You better get into the Word of God. You want to control your thoughts, your focus, where you're going to put your attention, how you're going to think on things? You need the Word of God. We hear it out of Philippians all the time. Think on these things. Our trouble is we don't think on the right things and we get all messed up and we get all crazy and we do the dumb things. When we were probably taught better than that. You were probably taught your emotions can't run you and that you shouldn't be the focus of any attention. You were probably taught that by a mom. The Word of God teaches us that. Notice what happens if you do, verse 22. You have the law's attachment, then you have the law's attention. Look at the attention He'll give you if you'll give attention to the Word of God. Look what it'll do. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Whew. This is pretty good. I like this point. Wherever you go, it's supposed to be in the lead. Where you go, what dictates where you go? You know, it's funny. We're thinking father and our mother, and we're thinking about, you know, moms and things. And you know, inevitably, they decide where you can go or where you can't go. Hey, can I go to so-and-so's house? No, you can't go over there. No. I don't even know those people, right? Isn't that the fear as a parent? Like, you don't know what they allow at their house, right? If you're a good parent, the thing you're concerned about is, what is my kid going to be able to do when they're there that I wouldn't let them do here, right? That's no knock on the other parent. That's just, I don't know what they do, right? So there's got to be a conversation between one set of parents and the other set of parents. And by the way, whoever has the highest standard, should be the rule for when so-and-so's at your house. And I don't care if your standard is higher than my standard. That's fine. Come to my house. We'll go by the high standard. I guess I got a couple people agree with that. Amen. All right. Well, hey, you say, well, what if my standard's lower? Who cares? You're not my kids. I'm worried about my kid. And so whatever the highest standard is, that's the standard we go by. Maybe you've got a higher spot over here and a lower spot over here, and we have to adjust both. I don't care. So what are you doing? You want your kids protected.
Come on.
Where they go. You know what God's worried about? Where you go. You know what mom's always worried about? Where you go.
Right.
A joke in the bulletin. Jesus leaving his mom a note. Going in the wilderness to fast for 40 days and 40 nights and be tempted of the devil. Don't worry. Mom's worry. About what? Where you go? Where were you? Isn't that the question we get asked? Where were you? What have you been doing?
Come on.
Where have you been? When thou goest, it shall lead thee. I hope mom instilled in you where you should go and where you shouldn't go.
Amen.
Now, there's a lot of places we shouldn't be.
That's right.
Because you'll be in trouble.
Right.
Well, I won't do any of those things. Maybe not today. But you keep going, you will. Isn't that how it always seems to start? I would never. Until you do. I would never. That's a slippery slope right there. I would never. Lest the temptation and the circumstances and the timing is all just right. you know, like the devil ever has tried to make all the timing fit so that he could go ahead and put you in the best trap he could put you in. I mean, he'd probably never do that. It's not like he didn't do that in Genesis chapter 3 or anything, where he set the right time and the right place and the right circumstance to open a door and see if he could get an opening. And then when he got one, he took it. I mean, but don't worry, you're probably better than that. Because you've never sinned before or anything. Oh, wait. We've all sinned.
Right, that's right.
Maybe you ought to just stay away from those places.
Amen.
Where you go, does the Word of God lead you? When thou goest, it shall lead thee. I mean, we got all sorts of verses. Him guiding us. Him sustaining, him going ahead. I know the way that I know, he knoweth the way that I take, and when I am tried, I shall come forth as gold. We look at the Holy Spirit, and the whole job of the Holy Spirit is to lead and guide you into all truth. And we want to walk with him, and we want to see him, and we want to be with him, and we want to have fellowship with him. Where thou goest, it shall lead thee. Here's a question. And I'm just going to put it out as a question. Does God lead you where you go, or do you go and hope that God comes with you? Because those are two very different things. Are you in the mindset of, God, where would you like me to go? And God, is this okay for me to go there? Or is it, God, I'm going here, come with me and bless this. Because it's what I want. Two very different things. I hope that it's him that's leading you. I hope it's the law of thy mother that's leading thee. And I hope that law is the same as God's law. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. I got thinking of this. I got so many different ways to go in my thoughts on this. Because when you're sleeping, the one thought is, I need it to protect me, to keep me. Right? You know, the Word of God is great protection to us. It keeps us safe because here's the thing. If you do it God's way, God's responsible for the outcome. I'm not. Salvation is amazing to us because I did what God said. Now all of my eternity is secured because God promised it. Not because I did anything amazing. I did what he asked. I called upon Jesus Christ to save me and forgive me of all of my sins and to take me to heaven because he's an amazing God who rose from the dead after dying for me. And he says, okay, I'll take you to heaven forever. That's the agreement. If you shall, I shall. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, here we go. You promised me if I call that you'd take me.
That's right.
I called, so he'll take me.
Amen.
Easy. Well, what if you get up there and he says that you can't come in? Well, then I'm going to appeal to the only book that I have that's there. I'm going to say, this is what you said. Did I do something wrong? And if I did, I deserve hell. But if your word is true, this is what you told me. I have no other argument and I have no other plea. And his answer will be, you're right, that's the promise. Come on. That's the promise. The promise is eternal life if you believe. It's conditional on what he said. Okay? Then isn't every decision you make in your life conditional on what he said? Doesn't that protect you? The greatest protection is having it written in black and white for you so you can turn to it and go, this is what he said, so this is what I'll do. What a protection that is. And then you go, okay, well, it's God, so he's never unjust. He's always good. He's got it. He's right. He's fine. I know. And so if he's good and he's right and everything's good, and I can trust that he knows what he's doing, and this is what it said, so I'm going to do it his way, even though it doesn't make any sense to me. What a protection. You can go to sleep knowing that God has you protected. That's part of what that, I think that means. So what else do you got? I mean, you know what I think about? At night when you can't sleep because you got too many troubles. Come on. Yeah. It shall keep thee. We got all sorts of trouble. You ever have any sleepless nights? Because of trouble? Because of pain? Because of heartache? Because of things? And the stress and the pressures and the problems? And he says, yeah, but I can keep you. Amen. Say, when do you get sleep? When you can finally cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. And you get to keep it. Yeah. You know what I bet? I bet mom taught you how to get some good sleep. How to get some good sleep. Dads, we stress and we worry and we don't let anybody know. Right? And then we go to the Lord, we try to get it all off of us so that we can go to sleep. You know the goal? When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. Amen. By the way, I do have one more little thought. God doesn't want you to dwell in darkness.
That's right.
So even when you're sleeping, he's got the nightlight on. The Word of God just sitting over there doing what? Just making sure everything's okay. Nothing to worry about. You can sleep. Jesus got it under control. You know, he's there with the disciples. And I know they failed, right? They slept. He was praying. They're sleeping. But you know, when he got all done praying, he went over and he said, sleep on now. That's kind of, yeah, sleep on now. I don't need you to do anything else. You need to get some sleep. You can sleep. I'll take it from here. Now what he's about to do, he's going to take it. Amen. Calvary. His answer was, don't worry, everything's settled. I got it from here, gentlemen. Just sleep on. Isn't that you? Hey, I'll take it from here. You just go ahead and get some sleep. He did that for Elijah. Go ahead, take your rest. Sleep on. He fed him and then he just let him sleep. Christian, when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. You know, we wake up and sometimes you just need somebody to talk to. And you need somebody to talk back with you. And you need something. You ever feel alone? Well, not with the Lord, you shouldn't. Amen. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Amen.
He's the lily of the valleys. Not just one valley, he's the lily of all the valleys. So no matter where you are, he's around. He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He wants to talk with you and help you and be there with you and just be the one that you can rely on and be with and not have to worry about a thing. When you wake up in the morning, he's ready to talk with you. But do you care that he's there? Or do you just leave him off to the side? I'll go ahead and talk with him when I need him. Because you forgot I need thee every hour. And moment by moment. Did you forget that mom taught you that you need him more than he needs you? It amazes me how many people think that God needs them, like they're important. I've said this plenty of times. You realize that if the Lord took me home in January, everything, all the crazy that happened, if the Lord took me home, I am replaceable still. I am not irreplaceable. So that wouldn't have been fair. Well, maybe some people thought that. But if he did it, he was right. So that'd have been awful. I agree. I didn't want it that way. Didn't like that idea. Didn't like it for my family. Didn't like it for my church. Didn't like it for that. It's not what I wanted. Not in the physical realm. I mean, going home, that sounds like a great plan. Say, well, you know, what if he did? Well, then I'm not indispensable. Realize not one of us is so necessary that God could not remove us and replace us with someone else to do the job. There's somebody else that could do what we do. Now here's the greatness. He wants to use you. He wants to use me. He wants to do those things. He wants to get glory out of our lives. So where are you going with this? The problem is you don't talk to him about what he wants. And you don't let him talk to you about what he wants. You need to talk with him. You need to be in prayer talking to him and then open a Bible and let him talk to you. Your mom probably taught you that. That God wants to have a relationship with you and walk with you and talk with you and lead you and guide you. When you go, it'll lead you. When you sleep, it'll keep you. When you wake up in the morning, it'll talk with you. You probably got taught all that by your mom. The last we see, you're welcome, the last. Here we are. Happy Mother's Day, the last. Verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. This is the law's application. If I apply it, what am I doing? Well, the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. Now, we all know the reference, right? We're all going to Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We all know the verse. We're like, boom, there it is. That's easy. Okay, so do it. This is what I find. I find this repeatedly. Maybe you don't think this. I find this repeatedly. I find that I know what to do. There's some sort of a disconnect between me knowing and me doing. You ever notice that? You're like, I know the right answer. I will do the wrong answer. Like experts at figuring out the right thing to do and then experts at not executing any of it. This answer is, hey, you know what I want? I want a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. This goes hand in hand with the last verse. You realize that, right? When thou goest, it shall lead thee. And when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. Lamps and lights. Seeing what you're doing, seeing where you're going. The Bible is replete with talking, especially in the New Testament. Paul likes to write the idea of, see then that you walk circumspectly, being wise and not as fools. Redeeming the time for the days, right? We have the verses and you look, you say, what's he telling me? He's telling me, look around and pay attention. You know, you can't see in the dark. So the Lord says, you know what I'll do? I'll give you a lamp so that you can see around you. Because the lamp's for the feet. That's right here. That's just this area. You say, why? So I can see around me. So I don't trip on anything being dumb. I can see around me. But then he says, and a light for my path. Well, that's out that way.
Amen.
That's where I want to go. And so it'll lead me, but it'll also keep me. Because the lamp is supposed to keep me. But the light is leading me. Christian, do you pay any attention to what's going on around you in a day?
Come
I think this is where most of us fail. We fail to notice what's going around us today, and we miss opportunities He gives me today. I think it's amazing. Orzacs are praying. We've had others that have asked the same prayer requests. They're going to see family. They're going to see friends. They're going to see people that they don't see every day. These are not the everyday people where you're going to have 1,000 different opportunities in a year to witness to them. These are people, hey, I've got a short window. I want to see them. I want a good opening. So what are they praying for? They're praying that they notice it. Because we can all look back at our lives and go, man, I missed that opening. That was wide open. How was I so blinded? I'll tell you how. The lamp wasn't lit. You didn't see it because it wasn't lit up around you. You weren't paying any attention to lighting a lamp and letting Him direct you. Letting Him show you what you have happening. Whether you call it divine appointments, whether you call it whatever, the opportunities you have are not just the idea of witnessing either, by the way. There's plenty of opportunities. He says to do good, especially to the household of faith. As you have opportunity, I'm doing a verse off the top of my head right there. As you have opportunity, I'm looking at Brother Larry because it's in the Redeeming Hope materials. And so in my brain, I'm like, I know he knows it. Get it out of his head right here to me. As you have opportunity, do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. There it is. I finally pulled it out. And so you know what? You got chances to do good, and you and I both know we've missed chances to do the right thing.
That's right.
Just to do good. Just to try and do the right thing. And we walk past it, and we go, oh, I probably should have done that. And it's not always witnessing. A lot of times we catch ourselves on the witnessing side. But sometimes I think we totally miss chances we had to do something good for somebody else that if they were lost would have opened up the door for the gospel. And if they were saved would have shown them that we still love them and we still care for them and maybe they're out of the will of God and they're not doing what they're supposed to do and it might have drawn them back. Or maybe it would have been just good to do to somebody so that you can go ahead and do something good for somebody else because they needed it. They just needed some encouragement that somebody else even cares that they exist. But you don't have a lamp on because you're not paying any attention to what's around you. The lights are on, but nobody's home. Isn't that the saying? The lights are on, nobody's home. And the Lord says, I lit the lamp. It's sitting right there. You're just not looking around. You're missing chances. I bet Mom taught you not to miss some chances. Lamp onto my feet and a light onto my path. Where am I going? Too many people in this world say, I have no direction. I need a direction. Okay, well, looking onto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, why don't you have any direction? Christians should never be without direction. That should never be the statement we make. I just don't have a direction. Now, you may not know exactly how you're supposed to get to where you're going, but we all have a direction. We're going to heaven. Now, how we get there is supposed to be His way and the path that He wanted us to take. And not all paths are equal. I would love to say that everybody gets the same nice, wonderful path and it all rides and it's just this smooth grade. Just slowly up to Jesus. But none of us live that. We got these paths that wind around and they go through some real rough looking neighborhoods. And they got different ailments and different problems. They've got things and rock slides and damage and trees down in the way. And you got things falling down on top of you and all these other problems and all the troubles and the trials. But everybody's is different. And God didn't ask you to take the path He asked me to take. But He did ask you to take one. I don't know what He's got on yours. But I do know this, He had one son without sin, but none without sorrows.
Amen.
So there'll be some sorrows on that road. Man is born unto trouble as a spark flies. So there'll be troubles on that road. We know that part. But you do realize that on that road is also peace and joy. The long-suffering and the mercies of God are still there. His grace is still found on that road, even though the troubles come and the trials come and the problems are there. I get it. There's a path, though. And your path may not be my path, and my path isn't yours, but the truth is God's put you on one so that He can direct your steps. See, I don't like the path He put me on. Most people don't like the path they're on because they think somebody else's path is better. The truth is, your path is no better than anybody else's. It's just different. And there's a reason He's putting you through some of the things that you're going through. The trials and the troubles that you have are different because He needs you to have those. But it's still His path. And it's His path just for you. Religion dictates that God is far away and He's unreachable and but no, that's not who He is. He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He is a God that's near and not far. He is a God that wants me close to Him and understands and can walk with me and wants to be with me and wants me to be there with Him. So it's not an unloving, untouching God. It's a God who reaches to us and knows what we need to be ready to do something for Him. Because if you're following the right path, when the lamp is illuminating your place, you'll see your opportunities. Amen. Lastly, he says, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Reproofs of instruction. You ever get reproved? What does that mean? You were told you did it wrong. Of course. We've all done it wrong. Don't do that. That's not it. We have to fix it. You have to do it this way. Because, by the way, reproofs are for instruction. They go hand in hand. If you tell somebody they're doing it wrong and you never tell them how to fix it, you're mean. That's not good. Just stand over the top of somebody, you're doing it wrong. Well, that's not how I would do it. You have those people, right? You've met them. Like the worst, some of the worst people on the planet are people who stand over you, tell you you're doing it wrong, and never tell you what they're thinking on how to do it right. Most likely because they have no idea how to do it right either. That's my theory. Anyways, they just like to tell everybody they're doing it wrong so that they, you know. Anyways, don't get me on them. What we have, though, is we have a book that tells us where we're wrong and tells us how to do it right. Amen. I am glad God doesn't leave me just going, nope, you're doing it wrong. Nope, you're doing it wrong. Nope, you're doing it wrong. That's not the mom I had. Not the mom most of you had. Moms don't stand there and go, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. And never give you any help. Now they may say, that's not how I told you to do it. Because they already gave you the instruction. I've heard that. That's not what I told you to do. But usually, you know what they do eventually? They may give you a minute to try and remember what they told you to do. But then you know what they end up doing? What did I tell you? That's not what I said. This is what I said. They instruct you again. They give you another chance. Sound like a wonderful God that you know? Another chance. Amen. And another chance. And another chance. Because his answer is, that's the way of life. That's how we succeed. You know how we succeed? Another chance and another chance. Try again. Try again. Nope, this is what I said. Try it this way. This is why you got to do it this way if you want my blessings. You got to do it just like this. And we learn again, and we learn again, and we learn again. The law of thy mother. You want a successful life? Follow the law of thy mother. The Word of God is the only answers. You want the blessed life, you want the things that come along with having a great life with God and walking with Him and knowing Him, it's found in the pages of a Bible. Say, my mom didn't teach me any of those things. Okay, teach somebody else those things. Teach your kids those things. Say, I didn't do a good job of teaching my kids those things. Okay, teach your grandkids those things. Try and help them. Say, I didn't know any of this stuff before. That's fine. You know it now. It's what am I doing now? You can't fix before. All of us wish we could go back and have a do-over on different things. I mean, we have some big regrets in our lives, don't we? I'm sure I'm not the only one.
Come on.
And so here we are, and you know, we could all want to go back and fix it. But that's not possible. You know what is possible? What am I doing today? What am I doing today? I can't change yesterday, but I can do something different today that doesn't reflect yesterday. I can be better than yesterday. Okay, be better than yesterday. Moms, if you're in here, you need to do better, do better. I think everybody, moms are always the hardest on themselves, by the way. I think they always take it the hardest. They want everything to be the best. And sometimes we're human, so we're not the best. Okay? Ask the Lord to forgive you. Try again. Try to be the best today. All right? But let's face it. As far as Christians go, we've probably learned all this stuff already. We just don't do this stuff. And we should have it bound on our hearts, hung around our neck, and walking with Him every single day. Walking in His light, following His path, looking around for the opportunities, and when we get it wrong, let Him reprove us and give us the instructions so we can do it right the next time so we don't fail Him twice. That's what I learned about the law of thy mother. I think it's a wonderful thing. Let's go ahead and stand. If you're in here today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's a wonderful day to get saved. Mother's Day would be a wonderful day to get saved. Even if your mom doesn't understand, it'd still be an amazing thing. Be the best gift you could give your mom is to trust Jesus as your Savior. Guaranteed, best gift. If you're in here and you're lost, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, we'd love to show you out of a Bible how you can know He loves you, He died for you, and He'll save you to the uttermost if you'd call upon Him. Christian, you're in here. You haven't been doing what you ought to do? Get it right. Forgiveness. God's a God of second, third, fourth, thousandth chances because He loves us. Maybe you got a mom in here today that's been great to you. She taught you some things. So she wasn't perfect. No mom is. We're not perfect. Moms aren't perfect. Dads aren't perfect. We don't have perfect families. We're not that amazing. But boy, they did some things right. Maybe y'all thank her for it. Maybe she's not here and you need to come down and thank God for your mom. Because she's not here, but you love her. Maybe you need to come this morning. I hope you do. Father, I thank you for the day. Thank you for these moms in here. I pray you'd bless them especially today. I hope this was an encouragement to them and an encouragement to the children in here. And Lord, even the adult ones that have grown up. And Lord, they remember how good their mom was to them. How much they tried to instill what God wanted in them. Lord, I pray you'd bless our families today. Work in our hearts. If someone here doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, I pray today would be the day. In Jesus' name, amen.